welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. I am the aforementioned Spooky Chris, and this is my podcast. You can find out more about me at spookychris.com. I am an author, podcaster, old school movie reviewer, occasional filmmaker, and ne'er-do-well. So I thought I would talk for a few minutes today a little about kind of where we're at in Flint, which is a weird time. So I live in Flint, Michigan, one of those weird cities that everybody has an opinion on and a take on, and at least 2 cents worth of knowledge, where they're going to tell you exactly, oh, well, I've heard about Flint. You know, that's kind of where we are. There's a lot of great stuff that's come out of Flint, obviously, but it seems like we are known more for the tragedy and the sideshow elements that'll creep in from time to time, which is, I mean, a drag to say the least. It's a strange time, like I say, because we are officially through the water crisis, which I lived in Flint, had a house in Flint, I still have the house, and it seems like we're through it, which again is another, it's weird to think that. It became such a ubiquitous thing. It was this cloud over the city that you couldn't really escape. It was so bad. And I'm not going to get into the history of it, because you either know or you don't. At this point, I mean, it started in 2014. We're 7 years down the road. If you don't know, you can look it up. Odds are you didn't care then. You probably don't care now, to be perfectly honest. But it reached so far, we got to a point where, you know, basically I think most of us were going and getting in line for water. I remember once we had some folks over, some you know, strangers, as it were. I don't know, people, not close friends. And they came over and we had 8 cases of water stacked up, because you could get, I think, 2 at a time. And there was a point where they were even delivering door to door. You would just go and drive to these water sites and get in line, and they give you a couple cases of water, sometimes more if you needed more. Families could get more. Where I work, we were getting calls all the time about water donations and people wanting to donate water. You'll still, you know, we'll still get those calls to, you know, really, from people wanting to help, which is very sweet and wonderful. It's just, we've reached a point where I don't know that any of us are going to trust the water anytime soon, but the water is about as good as it's going to get around here. Like, you know, you can't expect miracles. It's essentially safe. It's basically safe, though it's hard to get over that kind of fear. But it, like I was starting to say, it reached so far. There's a nearby township, Flint Township, who they have been trying to change their name to distance themselves from Flint. You had any business that was in, because people, there's a point where people kind of get confused as to where Flint ends and where Flint Township begins. Flint Township is our business area, basically. So, you know, a lot of people were confused, and you had these businesses putting up signs and in the windows and on their information boards, anywhere they could get, to announce that they did not have Flint water. It was sad to see how many people, like, Flint's weird because You have the people that are you know, from here, and they love to brag on how tough they are and how tough Flint is and get into all of that, and that's great. But there are also the people that are, you know, making Flint jokes about the water, or they have, there's a sticker that was more popular years ago, but you still see where it's the word Flint spelled out with the L as a essentially a 45 handgun. And again, it's weird because I don't know that you ever want to embrace the violence of a place where so many people have died. I don't know why people think that's cool or funny. I also am not a big gun advocate, so call me crazy. Maybe I just am not going to get it to begin with. I'm just not going to get that joke. But now that things are kind of past us, now that we're through the water crisis proper, we're at the point, and it's interesting because I remember at the time I said, people are going to get rich. You're going to see movies. You're going to see books. You're going to see all this stuff. And you saw, like, I don't know if anybody got rich, so I wasn't quite right on that one. But you saw people, like, you saw there's a movie made, a really goofy movie that was done about the water crisis, which was super funny because I remember watching it for a moment and it showed our city hall and it was super fancy and nice and this weird, interesting space, and I was like, yeah, except our government buildings are from the 70s and earlier, and look it, and they're outdated and old, and they don't look like this. Whatever, movies, you know. I don't know that you were looking to that for to those for that kind of accuracy. It was just funny. But it was one of, you know, it's one of those things, any kind of tragedy like this, you're gonna have, you know, you're gonna have the people that genuinely want to tell the story, that are there, and they want to convey it. And we had a lot of those folks. We had a lot more folks that came in that wanted to take the impactful pictures and get those quotes to write their big think pieces. And you know, you saw we were the hit of the news for a minute, where everybody wanted to talk about us and talk to people, and oh, how tragic, and then, you know, they disappeared. But now, again, now that we're through, we're on to the next phase, where kind of a weird phase of reparations. You know, and it's doubly interesting because you're seeing the money from the COVID is starting to kind of get, you know, the arguments about what that should be, what should be done with that. And then they're talking about, I think right now the settlement is at 660 million for the city is what they're talking. And of course you have the people that were, you know, the advocates, and a lot of them are insisting that's not enough and we need billions. And I get it, because the kids that are affected, the kids that their lives are changed, the kids that, you know, they'll never be the same. I get it because they need that money. Their lives are absolutely changed. They're different. The families, there's a, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of families, and a lot of kids that need that money. And it's never going to make up for what they lost. You know, I worked tangentially with the schools around here and would hear over and over again how, you know, behavioral problems and other issues were popping up with kids. Because of the lead in the water. And I mean, there's, you know, there's a fine line, because there's a point too where we just don't know concretely which kids were already, you know, malnourished, had issues otherwise, genetics issues, whatever. And what kids it was completely the water crisis. And I'm, again, I won't I'm not gonna say, I'll never say that someone was lying. I'll never say that anyone exaggerated. But I also do know that there are going to be kids, there are going to be people who weren't as affected as others. We were lucky. We didn't have any real effects. Our dog at the time had gotten a little sick from drinking the water. You know, we think from the lead in the water. So we just switched out to bottled water, and he was fine after that. So I don't know. But once you get into the money, it scares me. Because Flint has a real bad... One of the things that we are terrible at is our leadership. There's amazing people here, amazing leaders, amazing nonprofits, and just some great folks. The problem is more that so many of our elected officials are sketchy as heck and not trustworthy and keep doing side deals. I mean, that kind of is what got us in the, you know, danger in the first place, was a mayor that was, I personally think, too interested in furthering their possible political career later in life, and didn't say no when they were, you know, the governor and other voices were saying, oh, so switch it to the river water and just do this and that, and he should have said no. He's got to live with that, so whatever, it is what it is. But even, you know, our city council is notorious for, I mean, gosh, they have meetings that will last 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, and it's mostly arguing, and a lot of it comes from one person who is smart enough to work the system. He always likes to make points of order and argue everything. He's notorious for getting kicked out of lots of meetings because he makes everything about him. He makes everything personal. He makes everything about him. He is someone who should never have been elected into office, but he represents an area that doesn't have a lot of folks that are interested in taking office. And he is a very, very loud, a very visible force. And, you know, if you feel like, hey, he's going to represent us, he's going to be, you know, it is not a one-to-one. So I say this not as likening the two, but it is like the way Donald Trump got elected, in that people liked someone that spoke like them, that was just an average person, and it's an ordinary folks, and that's what got him elected in part, and that's what got this gentleman elected in part, is because he is, I think, the people in that area, they think that he represents them, and they, you know, so they don't have to go and be on the council because they have this guy that'll do it, and he's a bulldog. It's just that it's a bad look, and, you know, it doesn't take long to look into his very visible past, and you see this is not the kind of person you want leading, but this is who we have. And they are arguing now about what to be done with this COVID money and this money from the water settlement, which isn't even set yet. We've been waiting about a year, just as people argue, because they're like, you know, people are still arguing for more money and more money. And they don't understand. You can only get so much blood from the body. And there's a point where whomever is paying, whoever it is going to just say no. And then what? And I get it. You know, people screwed up. People have to pay. You want to see justice. You want to see, you know, the right and good prevail. But that's just not the world we live in. And the fact is that these families and these kids need and deserve the money that they have coming to them. And waiting for years and years and years, as these kids just get older and older and medical bills pile up, and waiting for money that may never come, to think that there's billions that will get handed out, especially as you see more and more cities having these lead issues. It's madness. And it, I mean, it's one of those things where it, you don't gotta like it, but sometimes you gotta accept it, and that's where we're at. But it's scary, that kind of money, because there's so much. I mean, especially one of the reasons I wanted to start an event thing in Flint, and like doing events in Flint, is that you can, it's a small enough city, you can make an impact and you can connect with people, but it's still a city. The COVID money, or the money from the settlement, like that's I can't even stress the impact of that. I remember, so even during it, there was a lot of money being funneled into Flint, and a lot of it went to gray projects. And what I mean by gray projects are projects that weren't directly linked to the water crisis. So it wasn't going in people's pockets. It wasn't going in people's hands. It was going to things that rebuilt the city. And that's very controversial. And I understand why. We are still kind of, for Flint, we're still kind of rebuilding our city center. And then hoping, once the center is strong, to go out further. And the neighborhoods want the money directly in their hand. And it's great, and I get it. But it also, you know, this kind of gets a lot into inside baseball stuff. But we have a major, major nonprofit here, a global nonprofit, and they put a lot of investment into the outer neighborhoods of Flint. And the problem is just that money doesn't, there's no ROI, there's no return on investment. Over and over again, you'll see they consider our area a food desert. So a lot of money went into trying to build grocery stores for folks and for neighborhoods. Amazing, great, absolutely. Problem is, they invested all this money into these people and into these grocery stores, and a bunch of them just up and closed because it was harder than they thought. I remember one of them, which they were a legacy brand that was coming back, and they were insistent, we want them that money. We want it. We deserve it. Everybody else got money. We want it. So they got a bunch of money to do their thing, and they lasted less than 6 months, and then they closed up and adiosed. And maybe it just doesn't work sometimes. People may still, I mean, that's one of those things where you have to survive. People, if they're in a habit of getting their groceries from like the liquor store or the convenience store or wherever, that's what they're going to do. You know, it's you do what's easiest and what still works for you. It's going to take a minute to change patterns, and you've got to survive. And maybe you don't need to build this high-tech, big deal place when all they need is something simple for now. And it's one of those things where people get their hands on the money and they want to build the biggest, best ever. And sometimes they just need something that is better than they have. So you saw all that kind of fade away. And that happens a lot. You know, people rail about, go on and on about, everything is done for the downtown, and it's this and that, and they don't get that the downtown is what draws people. You know, we have a giant, a big theater now. It's where all the bars and the restaurants are. There's a nightlife. There's an art walk. There's a lot going on downtown. Events happen downtown. That brings people into the city. The outer neighborhoods are generally for the neighborhoods. So you got to invest all of it to have a healthy city. You can't just keep pumping money downtown and then forget everyone else, because that's not healthy either. But you have to start somewhere. So like I say, a lot of money got funneled into gray projects to like build a hotel downtown. We haven't had a hotel right smack downtown in ages. You know, and to do projects like that. The idea was, and I get it, because Flint was hurt big time. You had people calling up all the time, like, is it safe to come to Flint? You know, for the violence, like you'll still run into people in our county who will not come to Flint because, like, oh, I never go downtown Flint, never. I've lived in Flint since 2005, a long time. And I've had, I had somebody break into my car. A guy I used to know, somebody broke into his car. I've seen weirdness. I've heard lots of things. But I've never had someone attack me or assault me. I've never been robbed. I've never had, it was the things that happened, like the person that broke into my car, they broke in through a sunroof to steal a pizza. The guy I knew, they broke in because his iPod was out. It was someone looking, and it was a crime of opportunity. It wasn't, a targeted kind of thing, like they were just going after that person. It was an opportunity. But you still have that locally. So imagine going further out, and now we have a water crisis, and people are like, "Well, I'm not going to go there." And there's lots of events that would come to this area. And now suddenly, no one wants to come here because of the water crisis, because of the fear of the violence and this and that. And it's not like you see great stories out of Flint. Clarissa Shields is about the best story we've had in several years. And otherwise, there's just not a lot. And it's, there's always great stuff happening here. You just don't hear about it, like regionally and nationally. So you had to rebuild. And people don't have to like where all that money went. And I get it. But just cutting checks and putting it in people's pockets. And it was funny, that was somewhat someone wanted for with the COVID money we saw on a recent city council thing, a person, and the person's a landlord, and a very sketchy one at that, which we have a lot of. He just wanted a check. And it's like, that's great. That sounds great. Everybody wants that. But how rarely do we do what we need to do with the money like that we get like that? It's just, it's not how it works. And people have the right to do whatever they're going to do, but using that money and just putting it in people's pockets isn't what the city needs. We need infrastructure. We need to rebuild things. We need to have things for kids to do. We need to rebuild these schools. We need to have a stronger, healthier community. And there's so much that can be done with these funds. Now, the water money, most of that should go to people. And most of that money that's going to people should go to the people directly involved. It should go to the families that were affected, the children that were affected. And again, I don't have to agree with what people do with that money, but that's where the money needs to go. Because those are the people that were on the front line. I'm a homeowner here. Our property values tanked, blah, 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 blah. That'd be great if some of it came our way just because we were affected. But am I going to sit here and pound the table and demand a cut of something that I'm far back in line for? No, not at all. But it worries me, this kind of money, because you're going to start seeing people, you're going to start seeing businesses pop up suddenly and nonprofits and like to siphon off some of this money. You'll see elected officials and the people next to elected officials will have friends and family and all these people that they know, like, "Oh, I know someone that's perfect. And they have a perfect business that can give back to Flint, and we're gonna get them some of this money." And you're gonna see more of this money disappear than I wanna think about. And it's just how it works. Heaven help us if someone ever were to do a forensic audit of the government or the military and what the money actually goes for. Because it's just how it is. It's just how this stuff goes. And there's a point where all you can do is kind of throw your hands up and hope for the best. And that's all I can do. I worry, though, because especially with the city council, because they're so anxious to get their hands on money and to have some kind of say over how this money is going to be spent. Not to say that our mayor or anyone else has a better idea, but anytime you have this kind of money, it's like you have tax return money, where it's just like almost found money. You're like, "Oh yeah, yes. And again, I one of my the people that I just deeply admired, and I'd met years ago, was this woman who had started a nonprofit that's still around here. And I remember talking to her, and she just would, you know, hammered on the point that people always want to start nonprofits instead of partnering with nonprofits that exist, because they always everybody always has this genius idea, like, oh yeah, this is this one, no one serves this community. Well, the fact is that most folks are served by one of the nonprofits, especially in a city like Flint. It's just people want to start their own thing for their own reasons. And I get it. It's not even nefarious. It's they just want to, they want to do things their way, and they have a vision. There was a guy who I remember came into our work who wanted to have a, who wanted to set up a nonprofit for homeless people. Great, great idea, except there are a lot of them for that specifically. And, you know, his thing was that he didn't like how they did it, and he wanted to do it differently. And again, great. But maybe instead of trying to go after dollars that are already being allocated, why not get involved with one of them and try to change them from the inside? Great. And again, easy to say. Easy for me to say from the outside that that's how you should do it. But I feel like you should try it, because I don't think people understand everything that's involved with a nonprofit. Like, with our little group, time and again, people, you know, our internally, people would say, oh, gosh, we should be a nonprofit, because that'd be great, because they see that there's funding available, and there's, you know, this and that. And it's like, except that doesn't work that way. You know, it's you have to set a board up. You have to have all of these. You have to account for every penny. There's so much red tape. It's just, you know, and I get it. It makes sense, because if you're giving someone money, you want to make darn sure that someone is doing the right thing, and they are not misappropriating that money, that they're not stealing it. You know, there's so much involved. You can't just let anybody do anything. And it's just, it's, and I don't, again, I don't think people understand that. And it drives me batty. It drives me absolutely batty. But they see the money, though, and they just, they get a little crazy. And again, there's so much that could be done with this money. Whoever gets it. But we have a bad habit in Flint of handing out money to the wrong people. And it happens all the time. And Flint's not unique in this. But it is worrisome. Because this is one of those things where it's enough money that it can generationally change certain things. Even, you know, with 85% of it going to people. Like, at least set these kids up for success somehow. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, like I say, I throw my hands up. I'm going to hope for the best, and we'll just kind of see where the cards fall. Friend, it is mid-December. It is chilly here in Michigan. I'm wishing you a happy day. Thanks for hanging out with me. Take care.